The farmer, the gardener, the sower knows full well the full weight of what it feels like to work underneath the heat of the sun. That the sower knows the sweat from preparing the ground. And the sower knows well that hope that starts to emerge from within as the seeds are planted. And the sower knows that burden of having to wait until the wheat start to break through the ground. That walking through the field each and every morning, surveying all of the land, felt like the most important work in the world. Less like checking a task off of the list and more like a calling, like a way of life. Then one morning there was a knock at the door, the type of knock that sounded like panic. And the worker stood there in front of the sower, unable to explain that you had to see it to believe it. So the two started to walk through the fields. And they saw the wheat starting to break through the ground. Normally, a moment of sheer excitement, like witnessing a miracle again for the first time. But their hearts sank on this morning because they could also see throughout the entire field the weeds starting to come up. It was as if the weeds were making a joke out of all of their work and effort. So they debated about what to do. Should we begin to move frantically throughout the entire field, pulling up all of the weeds? Or should we wait? And the problem was much deeper than the shallow roots of the weeds. That there was no weed killer, sweat equity, or chance to start over that would quickly solve this problem. So they decided to wait until harvest, that it would become a burden that they would have to bear, watching the weeds and the wheat grow together. This parable invites us into the story where our hands are dirty from planting seeds and our hearts are burdened about what to do. That we face the temptation to act versus the advice to wait. And in the waiting, if we wait, we discover how easy it is to mistake a weed for the wheat. That what if we start pulling up all of the weeds only to discover we are also destroying what is good? My freshman quarter in college, I remember attending the Baptist Student Union, where I met some wonderful people and caring and thoughtful ministers, and where I lost a lot of games of ping pong. But the ministers were wonderful in inviting people from a range of perspectives to come and speak and worship, that they thought it was a good time to hear from different viewpoints during these years of college. And one Tuesday night at worship, I remember the speaker talking about his personal journey of faith and how over the years he had grown into his faith, even widening his understanding of it. that he still retained so much that he had received as a child, but over the years, he had gained some things as well. There was more room for questions and mystery. Well, for those who were there that night, that felt as if mystery was more of a threat to their faith than anything else, they were quite upset. I remember leaving worship and seeing a handful of folks cornering one of the ministers as she listened patiently. They kept saying over and over again, "This place is not holy." But their anger betrayed their message. They did not sound holy either. That they thought the speaker was a weed. But our judgment can easily betray us. It is why Jesus says as many ways as possible and all throughout the Gospels over and over again, saying to the disciples and crowds and to us, do not judge one another. Perhaps we have all felt the sting of judgment placed on us by others, and we know how deep it is able to cut. And we have placed our judgment on others around us. But it is difficult to tell the difference between the wheat and a weed. It's like standing there and looking out on the vast ocean in front of us and looking at those waters off at a distance that they look so calm and completely flat. But standing there with the sand beneath our feet, we watch these tall, powerful waves crashing into the beach, one after another. Well, the secret is, if we saw those waters out there, up close, they are full of waves as well, that our eyes can deceive us. That if we look at any field, any person's life, there are weeds within the wheat that we must be careful. As Richard Rohr reminds us, we need to be saved from the tyranny of our own judgments. And I think that is the true power of Psalm 139. O Lord, you searched me and know me, that there is such assurance and strength to be found in knowing God's closeness. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. That does this comfort us, or does it concern us, that perhaps it does both, but ultimately it changes us. It changes how we see others, not with judgment, but with grace, because God has searched us and God knows us. God has seen the wheat and the weeds growing together, and God offers grace. grace. That we can cling to the grace of humility, knowing that we all have blind spots, and that we do better to pay attention to the weeds in our backyard rather than in the fields of other people's lives. And we can cling to the grace of empathy, imagining what it must be like to stand in other people's shoes, where we are aware it is difficult to tell the difference between the wheat and a weed. And we can cling to the grace of worship, where each and every week we remember together that God does not look like me. As Anne Lamott writes, you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all of the same people you do. Now, this does not mean there is no judgment. That as grace points out everything that is life-giving in this world, it also reveals and exposes everything that destroys that life. As one writer says, we cannot have grace without judgment. But God will not have judgment without grace. That our judgment can betray God's grace. But as we offer grace to others, it never betrays God's judgment. That grace does not turn a blind eye to everything that is not right. That it stands up for what is right without falling into the mistake of self-righteousness. Grace does not turn away from wrongdoing or injustice. It is not an exercise in denial. But it does prevent us from mistaking the weed and the wheat, knowing that it is easy to get those two confused. That we are called to plant gardens of grace, where grace is the only judge, and forgiveness leads us to conviction, where mercy is always changing us, and where love always prevails. Amen.